Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Pastor Cheryl Thaxton. Thank you so much for joining me today for Favor Life, the process of there where we walk by faith and not by sight to the call, the purpose of God. And as we move in the direction of His divine will, we see the demonstration of His power in our life. We see the release of His will and His word, His life and His truth manifesting so someone else can be touched by the light, by the salt that we are, that they are drawn and that they are encouraged even to become part of the household of faith, even to continue to walk by faith, and even to be strengthened in the things that they go through. And this empowerment, you're going to understand how the process makes you, shapes you, and grooms you, matures you for where God is taking you. This there place is the place where God told Abraham, go there. And that there place is always the place where you just trust God, believe God, and you follow Him, and you understand that as He's leading you, you're going somewhere. You don't always know where that there place is, because the process of that there place makes you, as I said before, shapes you. It encourages you. It strengthens you. It stretches you. It grows you and matures you, but it takes you where God wants you to be, intended for you to be, and on the way you bless, you become as the word God said to Abraham in Genesis 12, you become that blessing, not only to your own family, but to every person you come in contact with. You show and demonstrate the love of God, the hope of glory. You show and demonstrate His power and authority in a way that they would never see if you had not said yes to God, agreed to God, and been on the process of becoming more and more like He is in your there place. So we are thankful unto God that as we grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we learn of Him, taste of Him, we understand more and more how He's going to use us, how He's going to stretch us, and how we're going to be the light to someone else, hope to someone else, but also bruise the enemy's head. We've been looking and studying faith, and we're back again today finishing up our study on Noah, one of the heroes of faith that is mentioned in he's mentioned in Hebrews 11. So we're going back again, looking at that and really gleaming from that, understanding that when God is telling you to walk in a Noah walk, it is a walk that He's going to tell you to do something that no one else is doing at the moment. He's going to tell you to do something that doesn't seem practical, but it's a place where you're going to be mocked, because Noah was mocked for following God and following the lead of God and for doing what God has called and commissioned him to do. And so whenever you have that timing when God is saying, I want you to walk like Noah and do what I'm telling you to do, you can expect that there's going to be some mocking, but you can expect a demonstration of God to show up in your life or on your behalf to display God's divine will and His purpose. And it's going to be always greater than you or greater than anything around you. It's always going to show and point to God. He's going to get the glory out of it. Noah's life itself was a life that basically even his father testified of who he was when he was being born. His father begins to tell or to declare or to speak. And this is the first time that we see anything in the legacy of Noah that his father says something that is so because his father begins to speak concerning Noah's name, Noah's destiny, and his father's name was Lamech, and Genesis the 5th chapter, he says when Noah is born, he says that he will basically he will comfort us in the labor and the painful toil of our hands, cursed by the ground that the Lord has cursed, caused by the. So he speaks and he's saying that God is going to use Noah in a way that's going to almost reverse what's going on. In fact, Noah's name is associated with comfort and rest, and his name refers to the reversal of a curse. So in this, even people that were alive at this time knew that they needed hope to come from somewhere. They knew that they needed saving to come from somewhere. They needed God to intervene and show mercy to them. So even Noah's father understands that God has got to do something. And we understand that even in our day and time, that God has got to do something, because it seems as if the men are growing and waxing worse and worse, more cold, easy to engulf or to even act in immorality, and they have no conscience of it. And so when we see an uproar or rising of sin, when we see an uproar or rising of rebellion against the will of God, you can see you intervene. And how he intervenes and what he does is not always what we think or how we think, but we can expect it, because the prayers of the righteous avail. We're praying for souls to be saved. We're praying for lives to be changed. We're praying for the enemy not to take over and for rebellion not to take over. We're praying for God to show mercy, turn this. And we understand that there are things that must take place and must happen, because the Word of God speaks of it. The Word of God lets us know. Jesus even tells us in the Gospels that what's going to happen, the signs of the times and the things that's going to occur. But even in that, we are not to allow, because even though we know these things are going to happen, we're still supposed to pray. We're still supposed to pray for leaders. We're still supposed to pray for the earth, for the hearts, the atmosphere, because we do not want sin or the enemy to run rapid, just because we understand and know that there's going to be a season and time when the enemy will have his way, do certain things. We're still supposed to pray. So we understand that when we do pray, God is going to intervene, something's going to happen, and he's going to get the attention of man again. It's something about tragedy and things happening in the earth that gets the attention of man, that makes them look at God, that makes them show compassion, that makes them remember their maker. And so sometimes God will use even natural disasters to point or push them to him, because it lets us see how futile life is and how we need a savior and a redeemer. So we see that Noah is here, and even before his birth, there is a push that basically is being spoken of by his father to let Noah and those around know that God has chosen him to do something. God has chosen him to do something great. God has chosen him to. Now, when you look at the life of Noah, the Lord lets him know that for 40 days there's going to be rain. 40 days and nights, there's going to be rain on the earth. And so 40 represents a special time of fulfillment, a special time that God is using. God also uses and speaks of the seven. And seven is also a thing of completion. So you know that when God starts to use you in this form and this fashion of a Noah walk, he's starting something in that's going to be completed. Expect God to do it. We know that in our life, as our Christian walk, because the Bible lets us know that he's our Alpha and Omega, and he who begun a good work in us will complete it, will finish it unto the day of redemption. But there are periods and cycles in our life that God will start something in us and it will be completed. He will finish what he's doing. He will get the perfect work out of what he's doing. And so we understand that when God is doing this with Noah, he is doing something that it's going to be a start to it and an end. So when you start a Noah walk, or the Lord has you on that type of in that type of atmosphere where you are seeing, expecting something that man has not seen in your time or in your season, and God is using you to do it, you're going to be mocked, but you can expect to see something great. Noah basically obeys God to the completion. He's built the ark. He has the animals in there. God has sealed the ark, and the what's happening is that God is allowing humanity during the time of Noah to have a second chance. You might be the instrument God is using to give someone a second chance. God might send you in their life at a time when they need it, and they might mock you. They might say all kind of things. They might even say that you're crazy, you're off. But God might be giving using you to give that person the opportunity of a second chance by knowing him, by coming to him, being drawn to him, and you're the individual that God is going to use. So God was giving humanity a second chance, a second start to run after him, to love him. And we see this because it first began with Adam and Eve, but they did not do what God says. The actions of God was God created Adam and Eve from the dust. And we see that the second chance God gives is Noah and his family when they're on the ark. So God is giving mankind a second chance, second opportunity. So, we understand opportunities to do his will, and we want those chances. We want those opportunities. Sometimes our own rebellion, our own ignorance, our own hard-headedness will keep us from doing what God says, but God believes that allowing us to have ample times to say yes to him, to surrender to him, to walk in his will and to his way, to obey his command, to follow his purpose for your life and his destiny. So you have to understand that even though Noah is here in this place, he is also, his family is also getting an opportunity, a second chance, not to repeat the mistakes that have been made with which was seen in the days after the fall of man. They're getting an opportunity here. So not only are they, the world, getting an second chance, but they are getting an opportunity to not repeat the same mistakes, to not rebel against God, to not walk in and continue in sin. So there are times that God will use you to be that second chance for someone, that voice of wisdom, that voice of reasoning, that voice of love, of compassion, so that they don't repeat the same mistake that they have in our to run and chase after God. There's a covenant that God gives after they come after the ark, and all of this is the hand of God, because there's no way that the animals and the ark and everything that was done in the strength of Noah. The hand of God was on this from the beginning to the end. God intended, and God got what he wanted. He showed and did what he wanted. And when he leaves, so that they won't fear, so that they will know that God's a covenant keeper, know that God will not forsake them or cause this to happen again, God gives them the sign of the rainbow, and he makes covenant with them, and he says, every time you see this, this is my covenant. It says that water will never completely cover the earth as it covered it during this time period where everything was gone. He says the next time it's going to be fire. So we understand that God has given that covenant. Every time, that reminds us that God is a covenant keeper. So whatever is going on in your life, even as Noah, you're going to see that thing start, but you're going to see it end, and you're going to see the covenant of God show up. You're going to see the covenant of God be there to remind you that he's going to do exactly what he said in your life, in your generations, in the future. He is faithful. He who promised is faithful. I'm Pastor Cheryl Thaxton, and I pray that this has been an encouragement to you and even help you in your walk of faith. Keep being encouraged. Keep walking by faith, and know that God is faithful to do what he promised. Have a blessed day.